You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Two important people in our verse. Two important people in Romans 4 and verse 17. And we need to be familiar with them. And I'm going to deal with both of them on this morning. The first important person in the text is Abraham. Abraham is also known in Scripture as Abram. Okay? So before God changed his name to Abraham, his name was Abram. Abraham's life is an example of what happens when the saints of God decide to live by faith. When we consider Abraham in the Scripture, and when you read about Abraham's life, when you hear about Abraham's life, he's considered the father of faith. And so when we look at Abraham's life, we should see this is what will happen when a young man or a young woman in God decides to live by faith. Abraham was told by God that he would make him the father of many nations. Actually, that's what Abraham means, the father of many. I'm going to make you, Abraham, the father of many. And he did it. God performed exactly what he said he would do in his life. But it didn't happen overnight. It took years. It took some time. But we must understand, when God says a thing, it's going to happen. Whether it's something that is beneficial or something that is a consequence for our actions, if God has said a thing, you can bank on it. It's going to happen. The Bible says that his word will not return unto him void. Now, when God started making promises to Abraham, one in particular that he was going to give him a son, Abraham and his wife could not have children. They could not naturally have children on their own. But God said, I'm going to make sure you have a child. And I'm going to make sure it comes to pass. Whenever God speaks to you, it does not matter if your current situations don't line up with what God said. If you and I just stay in the will of God, it's going to happen. How many are with me so far? So God performed exactly what he said. And again, as Spirit-led young men and young women of God, like Abraham, we need to live by faith. If we want the promises of God to manifest in our life, like Abraham, we need to live by faith. Faith has a number of definitions, but real simply, faith is God's word. Got to make sure I'm living by God's word. That's what 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says. For we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. We walk by faith and not by sight. God expects us to live by his word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Well, how do we get faith from the mouth of God? We need to hear it. What we're doing this morning, faith is coming forth. Faith is coming forth, it's proceeding from God's mouth or from his servants. And so whatever is coming from his servants, that's what he wants me to live by. Whether it's convenient or not, whether it makes me happy or mad, if it's according to his word, that's what I'm to live by. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So I know what faith is. I know where faith comes from. But faith also, young people, needs to be imitated. Okay? I'm hearing what the preacher's saying. I'm seeing it in God's word. But you also need to see faith in action. And that what you see is what you imitate. You see faith in action in the written word. But then you got witnesses around you that are living by faith. And you should imitate that. Paul got specific. He said, look, just imitate me, the pastor, as I imitate Christ. You just carefully follow my doctrine, my faith, my love, my lifestyle. What you see me do, you do. As long as what I do lines up with God's word, you imitate my faith. How many are still with me? So when you hear people say, man, I don't go to church. It ain't nothing but hypocrites in the church. They partially right. It's some in the church, but not everybody. You don't imitate a hypocrite. You don't imitate folk that are doing contrary to God's word. You imitate the proper folk. And see, that's where some young folk mess up. Not all, but some. They got a good reputation of coming to church, got know how to hear the word, take notes, but when they leave, they imitate the wrong folk. You got to imitate the right folk in the church and outside the church. Don't call yourself a child of God and try to imitate two and three different folk that are contrary to God's word. It don't work like that. Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. You're going to do what I say. Not what Drake and Kendrick Lamar talking about. No, you're going to imitate me. You're not going to imitate what they doing. You're going to imitate who God wants you to imitate. I know I'm telling the truth. You got to imitate the right folk. And we see that in Hebrews 6 and what is that? 12. Notice the writer says that you do not become sluggish. Help me out. But imitate those who threat faith and patience inherit the what? The promises of God. Okay? So when I imitate the right folk, God gonna move for me. I need to imitate folk in the scripture and imitate folk that I can touch. Right? Now, before we deal with the second person in the text, let's just deal with Abraham a little bit more. And let's just learn some lessons from him. Because even though Abraham was an example of faith for us, Abraham had some qualities that we should imitate and some that we shouldn't. How many know there is none perfect but God? And how wonderful Abraham was. There are just certain things that we as young men and you as young women, we can look at and model our life after. But then we should be able to look at his life and say, oh, I'm not going to do that. That's why, young folk, you should never say, look, I want to experience everything. No, it's some things you need to learn from watching and listening other folk. You should be able to get some wisdom and say, I don't want to end up like that. So I don't have to experience that. I just need to learn what happened to her. I don't want to happen to me. You need to be able to look at another young man and say, yeah, he got what I want, but how did he get that? And then you need to come to a conclusion and say, well, I want to get that, but I'm just not going to get it the way he got it. So let's look at some things we can learn from Abraham. And there's so many different qualities that Abraham had. But let's look at just a few that the Spirit of God led me to that are very noteworthy. Let's go to Genesis. For the fourth time, y'all still with me? All right. Genesis, chapter number 12. And this is shortly after God started telling Abraham that I'm going to bless you. Matter of fact, when you read Genesis 12 and 1 through about 4, God starts telling them, look, I'm going to bless you real good. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But the first thing you need to do is get away from your kinfolk. Get away from your family. And how many know in order for God to do certain things in your life, in order for God to elevate you, it's just going to be some folk you need to separate from? See, you can't have the mindset that everybody can go with you on your journey. Everybody can't go where God wants to take you. And so God said, look, if you're going to elevate, you got to separate. If you're going to go to the next level, you're going to have to learn how to deal without certain folk. Some of us, it may be a certain person that you got feelings for, but the Holy Spirit done already dealt with you. You just in your flesh. But then some folk, you've been on your mama's breast so long, you just don't want to let go. You got to grow up and learn how to be an adult. Look at somebody say, you got to know. You got to know. Your friends can come to you and say, you done changed since you done got around such and such. Everybody can see it, but you need to see it. Because if you don't see who you need to separate from, you ain't messing up nobody but yourself. And so he tells him, look, you need to separate, and I'm going to tell you where to go. And so during this time, it was a famine in the land, and it got real rough. And so we find ourselves at Genesis 12 and 11. Poll number 5. Y'all still with me? All right. Notice Genesis 12 and 11. And it says, and it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarai, and that's his wife. That was her name before he changed it to Sarah. But Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Abraham had a fine wife. And the Bible says, he who finds a wife, look, y'all know that verse, finds a good thing. He had a good thing. I said he had a good thing. And then the verse goes on to say, and obtains favor from the Lord. When you hook up with who God wants you to hook up, it's going to be beneficial and it's going to be some favor in your life. And so he looks at his wife. He said, girl, you're fine. And I'm putting it in my words. Girl, you're looking real good. Her countenance, she was well put together. She was that beautiful. But this is what I want you to learn from this small verse right here. You have to recognize how God has blessed you. You have to recognize how God has blessed you. Sometimes you got to look closely and see what God is doing in your life. But young people, don't get tied up into comparing your life to somebody else's life. Take a good look at what God has done for you and consider how you got it going on. Your life may not be like somebody else's life, but you need to be able to look in your life and see the good for what God has done for you and what God is doing for you. Don't waste time appreciating what God is doing in other folk's life. Start appreciating what he's doing in your life. Man, I got me a good wife. Ooh, look at you, Sarah. You got it going on. I'm so glad you mine. God is doing great things in my life. That's how you have to be. The Bible says, give thanks in all things. The Bible didn't say that he talked about two or three things about Sarah. He just found one thing. Sometimes, young folk, you just need to find one good thing in your life, and that's what you hang on. That's what you give God the praise for. Well, Lord, I ain't in jail. Thank God I ain't a statistic. Lord, I just give you thanks. Well, Lord, I ain't riding the bus. It ain't my dream car, but at least I ain't walking and riding the bus. Every time I pass somebody going down 166, I just say, thank you, Lord. I got at least one thing I can brag about God is doing in my life. May not have the dream job, but thank God for the job I do have. Thank God I'm clocking in somewhere. Look at somebody and say, you got to recognize what God is doing for you. May not have designer, but I ain't buck naked. Thank God for the clothes I got. May not be able to get my hair done every week, but thank God I ain't looking toe up from the flow up. You got to find one good thing, get off Instagram, stop liking other folks' stuff, and start recognizing what God is doing in your life. May not got accepted to the school I want to, but at least I got some options. At least I done been accepted to this one over here. Look at somebody and say, God been good to you, but do you recognize it? Because you can get depressed looking at what you don't like in your life. You can get depressed on looking at what ain't going the way you want to go your way. But at some point, you got to grow up and be thankful for what God is doing in your life, young folk. Quit complaining about your phone and be glad you got a phone. Be glad you got some access to the World Wide Web. May not have the iPhone latest, but at least you got something. Look at somebody and say, give God thanks. Verse 12. Therefore, now hold on. Remember, he done looked at his wife and said, you fine. You got it going on, right? All right, verse 12. And again, we looking at lessons from Abraham we need to imitate. Do we need to imitate lesson number one? Yeah. We need to recognize how God is blessing us. Verse 12. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is my wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. This man done looked at his wife and said, you so fine that these men gonna see you and they gonna want you. They gonna kill me or kill me and take you. Look at how he put it down. He was being a little selfish. He said, the Egyptians will see you that they will say this is his wife. And look who he's thinking about. They gonna kill me. I don't wanna die. I love me. And they're going to let you live. They're going to let you live. That's some kind of fine. But this is the lesson we need to imitate and learn from Abraham's life. You need to recognize the ability, young folk, of your enemies. You need to recognize that there is somebody out there that can take what you got. There is somebody out there that can mess up the blessing that God gave you. You got enemies. Don't you think everybody like you? Don't you think everybody is rooting for you? You got at least one enemy, and his name is the devil. And if you give him place, young folk, if you give him a little crack, if you give him an inch, you got to understand the Bible says that he going to come in to steal, kill, and destroy. I tell young folk in God all the time, you got to recognize you winning. But if you get lazy, you get complacent, you start compromising, there's an enemy that will step in your life and rock your little world. He'll take your joy. He'll take your virginity. He'll take your identity. He'll take your job, your money. Look at somebody and say, he'll take it all. You got to recognize that your enemy has some strength to mess you up. And that's what Abraham recognized. And that's a key that many young folk need to recognize in God. You don't need to get caught slipping. You don't need to be asleep. You got to realize if you put yourself in certain situations, you got the most to lose. You got the most to lose. If I get high with these folk, who the one got the most to lose? And I know better. And I got a job. You're not thinking about license being suspended. You're not thinking about court fees. You're not thinking about jail time. You just thinking, ain't nothing gonna happen to me. But if you give your enemies, young folk, just a little bit of space, they can take what God done did for you. Don't act like your uterus don't work. You can get pregnant just like the next girl. You can catch something just like the next girl or guy. Don't give your enemy the upper hand by doing dumb stuff. Yeah, you say. But the enemy goes to God and asks him, let me touch him. Let me touch him. She ain't praying. She don't praise you. She don't read the word. Just give me 2 hours with her, Lord. Let me just send one sinner her way. The ecclesiastical writer said all it takes is one sinner to destroy much good. And see, all you looking at is that little curly hair and them little gray eyes and them nice hips she got, but not realizing what Samson and Delilah went through. All you got to do is give your enemy just a little bit of place. And they'll take what you got. I don't know who God is talking to specifically on this morning, but he's talking to somebody in here. If you've been sleeping with the enemy, you better get out that bed and repent. If you done got too close to your enemies, it ain't nothing but a setup, and it's going to mess you up. Abraham, young folk, had foresight. He had foresight. The Bible talks about a wise person flees from evil. You got to have foresight. You got to be able to look, listen, and hear and be like, this ain't right. I don't need to be in this. I don't need to have my name in this. You got to have foresight. But can I get country with it? He had foresight, but trendsetters, you got to have foresight. You got to have foresight. You got to be looking out for your enemies. You know, a foe is an enemy. You got to have some foresight. Look at somebody say, you got to have foresight. And so Abraham was heading to Egypt, but he was looking out for enemies. When I go to certain parts of Atlanta, I got foresight. I fill up before I go down 20. Because them fools in Atlanta will jump in your car while you putting gas in the car. Look at somebody say, you got to have foresight. When I go out of town with my wife and we go to the hood, I say, girl, put on your sneakers. You know we going somewhere where they know how to get it. And I know you're a little up in age, but you better keep up with me. Look at somebody say, you got to have foresight. Yeah, I like going to the hood. It's some of the best restaurants is in the hood. But when you go to the hood, hide your belongings. We need to imitate that. We need to recognize how God been good to us. And you need to have foresight. You need to recognize that your enemies have ability. But let's look at number 13, verse 13. Pole number 6, y'all still with me? So he recognized his fine wife. He said, look, if I don't do something, they're going to kill me and take you. And look at verse 13. Now, this is something we should not imitate. He says, please say, you my sister. Father Abraham. That it may be well, look at him being selfish, with me, for your sake, and that I may live because of you. Abraham was being a little selfish. We don't need to do this. Young people, don't tell lies and don't live no lie. We don't imitate that. We don't need to imitate this part of Abraham's life. Don't be known for telling lies to get your way, because that's what he was doing. I don't want to die, so just tell everybody you my sister so I can live and be all right. He was thinking about himself. But how many young people, how many trendsetters sometimes lie just to get their way? Or you live a lie so you can be accepted. I want to be all right with them Egyptians, so you just tell them you my sister and we're going to be scraped. Don't do that. Because when you lie, or I lie, or practice lying, we are of our father, the devil. Don't tell somebody I couldn't make it and you just didn't want to go. Don't lie. You could make it. Well, it's just a little white lie. The Bible say all liars. All liars going to hell. So whether it's a little white lie or a big black lie. No, let's flip it. Whether it's a little black lie or a big white lie, it don't matter. All liars. Y'all see how my audience got real quiet? If you got to lie to your parents about who you are with and what you're doing, that's a sign that you're out the will of God. Where you going? So, woo, 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 woo. But it's a lie. You out the will of God and acting like the devil. Tell somebody, don't tell lies. Or live a lie. Don't live no lie. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of the story, but y'all need to read the rest of it. Because what Abraham said, it happened. The Egyptian slid through and talked to his wife. Now, this girl was so fine, the Bible says they took Sarah to Pharaoh. They took his wife to a world leader. That's how fine she was. Took her to a world leader, took care of her, set her up, took good care of her. And then the truth came out. This is what God did. God started sending plagues to Pharaoh's house. He said, no, something ain't right. You ain't who you say you are. And he come to find out that that was Abraham's wife. He said, look, get your stuff, get your man, and get up out of here. Y'all need to read that text. He told her, get you and your stuff and leave, because God hit him with great plagues. The indication is that God had mercy on Abraham for lying. He got it right. Because when you read into chapter 13, y'all still with me? The next place he got to, the Bible says, and he sought the Lord there. See, when Abraham got down here, the Bible doesn't say he acknowledged the Lord or prayed. He just made a choice. He just told a lie. And that's how many of us mess up. You don't be asking God what you should do and what you shouldn't do. You just start making moves and find yourself in a mess. But how many are thankful that we serve a merciful God? How many are thankful that God will help us even when we mess ourselves up? I'm not perfect. I believe you, Lord. I'm trying to live for you, but sometime I mess up. Lord, let your mercy be new. Lord, be gracious to me. And how many know the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. That's one reason I praise him, because I'm not a perfect person, but I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his grace. And somebody in here know what I'm talking about. You ain't perfect, but you recognize God been merciful to you. He done helped you out time and time and time again. You done lied, but he helped you. You fell short, but he helped you. You ought to go ahead and just say, thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. So when it comes to living by faith, I want us to understand there's just certain things we should do and certain things we should not do. In our text, as we come to a close, the one trait we should imitate from Abraham is that he believed God. That's what he did. He believed God. Everything he went through, he still believed God. He trusted him. He had a daily commitment to stand on what God told him. And that's what you and I have to do, young people. When we go through different things in life, our ups, our downs, we still just need to trust that God is going to do what he said he would do. Money may not be where I desire it to be, but I'm trusting that he's going to cause me to be the head and not the tail. Live above only and never beneath, because that's what he told me. May not be able to go on vacation when I want to and how I want to, but I'm holding on that I'm going to have life and have it more abundantly. May not be able to do that 7-day vacation, but I'm thanking God and holding on for my little weekend getaway. That's what I can do right now, but I'm holding on that I'm going to be able to do this and to do that, and money ain't going to be no issue. He believed God on a daily basis. And so the Lord is saying to his young people this morning, his young adults, are you believing God the way you need to? Are you believing in yourself, your job, or some other source? We need to be like Abraham and believe God. And learn that whatever God says, that's what's going to happen. That's what I'm standing on. I'm not going to believe the wrong voice. I'm going to believe God's voice. Which brings us to the second person in Romans 4:17 is God. Why do I need to believe God? Why do I need to believe God? Theos. Because he's the one that's in control of everything. Most of all, God, young people, is a creator. God not only created the heavens and the earth, but he created you and everything else. God is the creator. Well, how does he create? He makes things, or he creates things that we see with things that we don't see. That's how our God operates. He creates things that we do see by things that we don't see. And the primary thing that he uses to create is his word. His word. What he says. He uses his word to create. And so, again, when God speaks a thing, young folk, we got to believe it. Some young people believe whatever's on the internet more so than when God speaks. You got to flip it and quit saying, well, it's on the internet, so it must be true. No. It could still be a lie. Matter of fact, the Bible says, let every man be a lie and let God be true. get in your spirit, if God said it, it's true. Say that with me. If God said it, it's true. Now look at how God talks. Very important. Y'all still with me? Look how God talks and why we need to believe him and how we believe him. He says, God who calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So when God talks to you, young folk, when he talks to us in a corporate setting, notice he calls things or speaks things which do not exist. He calls. He speaks aloud. He commands things to happen. Let there be light. And guess what happened? There was light. He sent his word and healed them. So everyone that was sick, he sent a word first. And guess what happened to those who were sick? He healed them. He commands it. And I need to give you an illustration the way he gave it to me. When God speaks or commands something, it's just like when you go to certain restaurants. There was this restaurant we used to take the trendsetters to back in the day in Atlanta called The Varsity. I don't even know if y'all have ever heard of The Varsity. Matter of fact, let me check my age by a show of hands. Who knows about The Varsity? Oh, y'all know about The Varsity. They got some decent food. Good onion rings. Yeah, I like them onion rings. They got them fried pies I like. But one thing that's intriguing about The Varsity and this other restaurant, I don't know if y'all heard about, called Waffle House. Y'all ever heard of? I just heard, be real. How many eat at Waffle House? Y'all sitting there like, come on, Pastor. Really? You know we eat at Waffle House. But you know what's intriguing about Waffle House and The Varsity? Is how they call things. How they order things. Let me get a waffle with a fire to the side. And somebody back there, boom, boom, boom. Next thing you know, there it is. You go to The Varsity. Let me get it. You don't know how they be understand, but they get it. And the order is fulfilled. Same way with God. When God speaks a thing or orders a thing or commands a thing, it's going to happen in your life. The same exact way. The same exact way. God will send a word through his prophets, or his spirit will guide you to a certain promise in his written word. And that word is just in your heart, is burning. You know God is speaking to you. You better bank on it. Write it down. Because it's going to come to pass. And once you hear that word and get it in your heart, you know the enemy going to fight and try to take it. Because he knows if you believe it, it's going to happen. Lest you believe and be saved. So young people, when God speaks to us, understand, it's going to happen. I said, it's going to happen. Matter of fact, once he speaks it, it's starting to happen. It's starting to manifest. And so you and I have to do certain things because God is going to speak some things that do not exist, or some things that right now when you look at, you be like, how in the world is that going to happen? How in the world is God going to turn around? That's God talk right there. God always talks to things that are dead or naturally not happening. We just need to believe it. Notice he says, who calls those things that do not exist as though they did. Do not exist. Do not live. Do not appear. God will tell you, look, it'll come a time where you never late on your bills. But right now, you looking. That's all that exists. There was a time in me and First Lady life, the only folk that called the house was bill collectors. I'm telling you, we would come home and we would just look at the answer machine and be like, 12 messages. And we just hit play. And every last one of them be like, hey, call us at 188 and put in extension 347. But we already knew what it was. And I would tell First Lady, I said, it's going to come a time. We're not going to have to go through this. Every bill going to be paid. And I was selfish. I ain't going to lie. I was selfish like Abraham at the time. Because, you know, when you fill out applications, they be wanting to know your name, your address, your phone number. I give them her work phone number. I give them my phone number and her work phone number. I was like, man. But after I repented and got right, I told him. You see how quiet she is? I said, we ain't going to never have to worry about that. And when God finally got us to that place, I would tell her, I said, you remember a time where I told you what God told me? I said, we there. And she'd be like, hallelujah. I was so messed up, young folk, I couldn't even take First Lady on a date and buy something. We would go on a date, but that's it. We would go certain places and just look at stuff and just all I could tell her one day. And then we'd get back in the car and go back home. That was date night. But I would tell her, I was like, girl, one day we're going to be able to go out. I'm going to take you out and whatever you want, you can have it. If you want supersize, whatever you want to do, you can. Whatever you want to do. That was a good joke. Y'all hard. Man, we'd go out to eat and she'd be like, can I get an appetizer? And I'd be like, mm-mm. Girl, it sound good. Be like, no, not today. Not today. But then she would ask me, she'd be like, can I get an appetizer? And we look at them price, be like, man, the appetizer costs like the entree. And I'd be like, no, not today. Not yet. But now this girl get appetizer, entree. Then we leave there and go somewhere and get dessert. I'd be like, Lord, she eating the good of the land. But this would get me. Why she always want to look at the bill? She ain't paying for it. But she know where she come from. And see, that's what God will do. Why you going through, God will be telling you stuff. It ain't going to always be like this. It ain't going to always. You got to receive that God talk. You got to receive it. It ain't going to always be like this. It's something I'm supposed to learn. It's something I'm supposed to get better at. And you receive that God talk. So in my last 2 minutes, when God talks to you about different things in your life, this is how you respond when God talks. You got to respond like Abraham. Y'all still with me? Number one, you got to remember that God sees beyond your sight. God sees beyond what you see. We sometimes get stuck on what we see and fail to remember that what we see is temporary. And I had to get to that point when I was telling y'all about the bills earlier. Not only did I realize that it was temporary, I had to learn that, look, these folk doing their job. I owe them that money. I'm supposed to pay them, and I want to. But let me learn what I'm supposed to learn while I'm in this. And look beyond what I see. And that's how God does, young people. He looks beyond what we see. At the time when he told Abraham he was going to bless them, they couldn't even have children. But God looked beyond what he saw. And Abraham had to learn how not to consider the deadness of his body and the deadness of his wife's womb. He had to believe that God was able to do or perform what he said. And some of you right now, that's where you are. You just got to go ahead and believe what God has been telling you and speaking into your life regardless of where you are right now. Because God will start blessing you in a low place. God will start blessing you in a place that's tough to live, but that's not going to stop God from raising you up. God sees beyond your sight. You have to see beyond your sight. Genesis 17, 6. Notice he said, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. God talking big. And I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And Abraham and his wife couldn't even have no children. And God talking all this big talk. But again, young people, God saw beyond natural sight. Finally, when God speaks a word, you have to align with what God is saying. Just don't take the word and don't do nothing. You have to adjust your life to what God is telling you. You have to line up with it. Because whenever God says something, we the ones that got to get ourselves together. Amen. Notice Romans 4 and 18 as I get ready to shut the Bible. It says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, talking about Abraham, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. He believed even though he didn't see it. He began to say, you know what? God gonna do what he said. He began to hope against hope. God gonna do what he said. He aligned his life. Are you complaining or are you aligning? Are you doubting or are you aligning your life with what God said? Are you making the necessary changes or is your mindset, I just won't get out of this. I just want this to be over. Quit doing that immature stuff and just start preparing and aligning. And watch God's talk start manifesting in your life. How many understand that we need to believe God talk? Let's stop and let's give God a hand clap for the message on this morning.